Welcome to Workshop Wednesdays with Tony Gambone, where you will learn how to build your business and take it to the next level. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and hey, of course it's Wednesday. Here we are in the middle of the week at Workshop Wednesday, every Wednesday morning from 10:30 to 11:30 Central Standard Time. Here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now, I don't know what's going on in your world out there, but I want to take a couple of minutes and just talk about some things that are going on in different parts of the country as well as in the Houston area here. We're getting down to the time where there's, 10 days, 2 weeks, maybe a little bit less or more in different parts of the country of school left for the school year. And that always brings in the question to me as a entrepreneur that offices from the home, what happens when your children are off from school for 3 months for summer vacation? How does that work out for you? Are you prepared for it as a business owner? Do you just keep your door shut in the house and hope that the kids don't make too much noise while you're on the phone? Do you participate in what they're doing? Do you include them in your day? If they're young enough, do you have someone that stays with them, or are you the person that's keeping an eye on them? I ask these questions because when our day gets interrupted and we have family on hand, we always seem to be okay with taking out our frustrations or what we don't like on our family. And in summer, when our children are home and we're officing from home, or your local Starbucks, wherever you want to call it, we tend to forget that our children are just that, children. Even though they're smart and even though they might be in high school, they still are children who need parents available from time to time. Now, I know people say, yes, my kids go to school all day and they're fine, so they don't need to be bothering me during the day. Well, that's not necessarily true. They're in school all day and they don't bother you because they can't. The fact that they're home all summer and they are able to bother you is something you want to take note of, because this will give you a chance to build a better relationship with them. It'll give you a chance to understand where they are in their life and for them to understand where you are in yours. Have you ever thought about if your child was old enough to bring them on a meeting with you, to have conversation with them like they were an adult? And allow them to sit in on a meeting that you're having so they can understand more about what it is that you do. That'll allow them from time to time to be quiet when they know that you're on the phone or you're doing business, because they understand more. We don't live in a world of just be quiet and, don't talk until we tell you to. We don't live there anymore. We don't necessarily have to have our child, if they're younger, on a device so that they can be entertained while we are working. We should allow ourselves some time in our schedule to prepare for the things that we have to do, whether it's business, taking care of our children, or just being a good spouse. So it's important that you take a look at the summer and know that our children are out of school. And what about those of you like myself whose children don't even live in the house anymore? It's important to understand that summertime makes a difference in your business. Now, most of us, when December comes along, we don't sit down and write down what it is that we're going to do in the summer different than the winter, okay? Because we just think about making money for the whole year. But have you allowed in for summertime, vacation, kids out of school, things done differently, having the same thing going on? Have you allowed for that? Are you prepared for it? Have you even thought about it? Well, these are all great questions, and sometimes we don't have the answers. But all the time, it's important to make sure that you're looking at the questions and developing the kind of answers that you would like to have for those situations and then implement them. So sometimes we are able to do that, and sometimes we're not. Life has a funny way of getting in the way, but we have a funny way of using that word life as an excuse for things that we don't get done. And what about the things that are almost impossible to get done. There's things that we go through in our day, in our business, that we just, well, it can make you want to scream or dance with happiness. But what about those moments? Do you log them down? Do you write it down so you can remember? Because it doesn't seem like there is enough of those days compared to the other days. And if you don't have a lot of those days that don't go well, you have more of the days that work really well, what's your secret? Are you willing to share it? Are you helping others with it? These are questions that I come across all the time, and I know one thing. When I think everybody else is making it and I'm not, well, that means I just need to pick myself up out of that chair and get moving forward into another area where I'm not wondering those types of things. Staying positive, moving forward, staying on track, and staying committed is something that is a struggle every single day. And I know this because every single day we're out there doing the same thing as hard as we can, trying and trying and trying. And some days look really great, and some days look like we never even showed up. Well, I found the trick to that, and that is never give up. Stay on point. Stay connected. Have someone that you can have conversation with that makes you understand that you're not overseeing something. Now, some of you might need to hire a coach. Some of you might need to experience an accountability partner. And some of you might need to go out and get a job. But you aren't going to know any of this unless you sit down and have that conversation first with yourself. And then, two, with someone that you either look up to or respect in their business. Now, I'm not saying to sit down with your spouse and have this conversation, because more than likely you're going to use that opportunity to tell your spouse that they have no idea what you go through during the day. So pick someone that you won't say that to. Pick someone that is doing what you want to do and have that conversation. Learn about what their secrets are, what they're doing to overcome the adversities that we face on a daily basis. So that's just my little piece for Wednesday. I know it's the middle of the week. We're on our way up the hump. I know that by Friday, everything just falls in place. So it's really not too much of a worry on Monday and Tuesday to be stressing out. But we do it because that's who we are. Now, if you're an executive, a spouse, an entrepreneur, a student, it applies to all of us. We just have to have a plan every day. And you have to be willing to adjust your plan. You have to be willing to say, today's not a day that I'm going to work. I'm going to just relax. So that you can reboot your brain, just like you would your computer. So all these things are important. All these things are stuff that we already know. But, you know, we don't always practice. Because, well, as we mentioned, life gets in the way. A couple things are going on in my world that I've taken time out in the last month to recognize how special and how lucky I am to have what I have around me. When you see people in bad health and they're not going to be with us much longer, it is hard to sit there and complain about what you don't have going on. Now, if it's not hard for you to do that, then you need to check yourself. But in my world, there's a very dear friend of mine who's, he's almost at the end of his journey, and he's left a lot of great marks in his life with people that you don't know about until you get to a part in your life where this type of thing happens and people visit and tell stories and go back 30, 40 years with something, and it really allows comfort to enter into your life. Now, I bring this to you because a very dear friend of mine is going to be going to a better place soon. Less pain, less struggles. But one of the things I want to make mention of is people have come from all over the country to visit this person and to explain their connection. Now, we never get to hear those types of things when we're getting, you know, busy with life. But a time comes where all that information comes out. So my point of this is make sure today that you stop and think about who you could help, what you could do to be better, and start being better. Because at the end of it all, okay, it never ends the way we want it to. It never goes the way we planned. only because we don't have the strength or the ability to guide those plans. All we can do is work as hard as we can at what we think is supposed to work. But just know, if you're out there every day helping others, if you're out there every day trying to make sure to be better, things will be better. I can guarantee you that. So my name is Tony Gambone. We're here on Workshop Wednesdays every week from 10:30 to 11:30 Central Standard Time on the Tough Talk Radio Network. You can go to toughtalkradionetwork.com and find all the shows that we do here weekly. If you're interested in hosting your own show, well, hey, reach out to us and let us know. You can find all the information on toughtalkradionetwork.com. I have two great guests today, as we do every week, and I'm excited about this because, well, I have my first guest is a gentleman by the name of Ron Stell, and, well, he's written a few books. Now, I know that for me, when people are authors and they're writing, they're expressing something, and that's when you really should be paying attention to see what the message is that they're expressing. Now, it could be self-help, it could be overcoming adversities, it could be a diet book, it could be a Christian book, it could be a fiction book. What's important is you take time out to read the book and understand what it is that you're going to get out of the book. So I'm going to take a commercial break. I'm going to come back with Ron. We're going to talk about, well, he's authored a few books, okay, from humor to supernatural thrillers. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to do that. In the meantime, go to Facebook and type in Tough Talk Radio Network or Tony Gambone and connect with us. You can find us on Twitter and LinkedIn the same way. I'll be right back after this here short message.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
Wednesdays at 10:30 Central Time, tune in to Workshop Wednesdays with your host, Tony Gambone. Tony speaks with small business owners, entrepreneurs, authors, and experts who share their stories of success. The best way to find success is to listen to the successful and use their experiences to find your own success. That's what Workshop Wednesdays is all about. To learn more and listen to the show, visit workshop-wednesdays.com. Workshop Wednesdays, Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Central.
All right, welcome back to Workshop Wednesdays. My name is Tony Gambone. If you're just joining us, welcome to the show. And I just want to make sure that everyone knows you can call into the show and talk to our guest or join the conversation by dialing 347-989-1363. Also, you can go to workshop-wednesdays.com and listen to the show on the air as well, or you can just dial in and listen by phone at 347-989-1363. And remember, if you have a question and want to join the conversation, press the number 1 on your phone. My first guest is a gentleman by the name of Ron Stell. And Ron found out through gentle persuasion by his wife that writing was what he was meant to do. Now, I've interviewed a lot of authors, and once they've written something, they've figured out that that's what they're supposed to do. And I got to tell you, folks, most of us need to put our information down so that we can allow it to come out and let our story be heard. But what I want to do first is I want to bring Ron up on the show and ask him a few questions about how he got started and all the different things. So, Ron, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Tony. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's our pleasure when people will take time out for us to share what they're doing. So I just want to go through a couple quick questions so people can get an idea a little bit more about who you are, Ron. Where are you calling in from, and where are you from originally?
Okay, I'm calling from outside Chicago, and I'm originally from Houston.
Oh, well, how about that? So that's where I'm located, here in Houston. Who would have thought? How'd you get to Chicago?
Through a lot of different trails of life. I stayed in Houston until 78, and then I joined the Navy, and I was in the Navy in Norfolk / Virginia Beach, Virginia, for about 25 years. I retired in 2001, and in 2007, I moved to Chicago so I could be with my wife here and my stepchildren, and I've been here ever since.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. So in the military, what was your focus? What was your duty? What was your responsibility?
Well, initially wanted to go in the Air Force but I had a vision issue, so I wasn't going to be able to fly anything. So I went in the Navy because I wanted to see the world. I've always been an avid history buff. So I went in and I became a navigator. The one that's on the bridge that tells the ship where to go and when they're going to get there and how you're going to get there, and shoot stars with sextants and just enjoy traveling to ancient and exotic lands, which I did many, many times. So the lure was the visiting. I also wanted to serve my country, and that's pretty much why. I went in initially for 4 years, and I liked it so much, I went ahead and stayed another 19.
Hmm. So when you got out of the military, were you figuring just to retire, take it easy, live the dream? Or
no.
What was your plan?
I was too young. Well, you can't really get a lot of jobs as a navigator on a boat anywhere but cruise ships or tugboats, and I'd been gone so much I didn't want to do that anymore. But, you know, I got a degree while I was in the Navy in psychology, and then I found out that wasn't going to be the route I wanted to go, because you really need a doctorate to make a decent living. So I piddled around, went into the automobile industry. I did that a little bit before I went in the Navy, and so I ended up becoming a service manager for some various dealerships, and writing service is very challenging, but it also allowed me to use my psychology degree a little bit to understand where people were coming from. And then about 5 years ago, the writing bug hit.
Hmm. So let's talk about that. You mentioned that your wife, gentle persuasion, got you to start writing. Let's take us through that.
It's an interesting story. What happened is, probably about 2008 or 9, it was in that time frame, I decided to get on Facebook because I found that this was a way to reconnect with the folks I went to school with in Westbury back in 72, and reconnect with a lot of those folks I hadn't seen or heard from in forever. So, and that really worked out well for me. I was able to reconnect with a lot of the folks I'd gone to school with. And in the process of learning social media, I always felt compelled that I wanted to put something out there for folks that were not feeling so good or having issues in their life or feeling downtrodden or broken spirits and such. So I did something called a short pause. And that's a daily thing that I do on Facebook, which has a motivational statement that I think is just inspired, and whatever comes out of my fingertips is what goes on there. And I've had many folks say that's just what they needed to hear. Well, my wife one day was sitting there going, you know what? I keep seeing these motivational posts and the way that you talk sometimes. I'm going to have to ask you to go ahead and write a book. And I went, excuse me? She said, yeah, you need to write a book. You have a gift of words. I don't think that you're aware of it. She's a very smart woman. And I said, okay. So I sat down that minute and opened up a blank sheet on the WordPress and said, what do I want to write about that I could share with folks? Well, amazingly enough, the first book was about growing up in the 60s in Westbury, Houston. called The Streets of Our Youth. I wanted to show that we were able to have an incredibly wonderful upbringing without using our thumbs, without electronics, without computers, without all the stuff that we all use now, which is great. But I wanted to show folks from my children and grandchildren's generations what it was like growing up without all that, and how important I think it still is to do some of these things. And I had so many funny experiences growing up, I was able to put out a 300-page book in 7 weeks. Editing
wow.
nightmare, but it just came out like a faucet. I told her, and she would just look over at me, and I'm just going. It just was a simple, easy breeze. Of course, I had no background, no writing classes, no structure, no outline, none of that. I just wrote. And then after about 20 times of going through it with me and her and some friends, I did a smidgenly good job of editing and tried to get it to the major publishers. None of them responded. So I finally found a publisher that allowed me to pay them to have it published, and it got published. And it was successful. It had about 27 five-star reviews, and a lot of people really enjoyed going back in their history, you know, going back in time and remembering how it was for them, and the younger people seeing how it was for their parents. So once that started, I finished it, and she looked at me, and I go, I got to start another one, you know, and it's never stopped since then. It's like a continuing faucet turned on. No matter what's going on, I'm writing something or one thing. So 7 books, 2 short story books, some compilations with other authors later, I'm still doing it.
So, you know, Ron, you've written 7 books. I mean, you retired from the military. And by the way, thank you for serving to our country and allowing people like myself to be spoiled like we are and enjoy the benefits of it. But now that you've gotten past all that, and being in the military 20 years, you become regimented. You know, I have friends that retired, and you know, after service in the military, and it was driving them crazy. They just, like, their day had to be regimented. Are you that type of person?
I don't think so much. I wasn't your average bear in the military. I still enjoyed life. I still did other things. I guess I need structure, but I've always worked no matter what. So I went from the military to jobs where I had structure, where I had to be at work, and pass the time when I wasn't at work, just doing various other things that I enjoyed. But I understand that. I have some friends that retired that are, you know, still wear the Marine hat, and not, you know, it's basically they have the exact same attitude about life. I was always a little bit different because I was a dreamer as a kid, and I always wanted to be a superhero or Tarzan or something like that. So that part of me was always at the forefront. I just didn't realize it was supposed to be put on paper until I started that.
Right. And so when it comes to every day now, how are you taking what you're putting in paper, on paper, in a book? Are you going out? Are you speaking to groups of people? Are you trying to hit the market as a speaker now and keep writing, or is your passion just to keep writing?
I can do motivational speaking for folks. I'm pretty comfortable in front of folks. I've been on television before in the past, and I taught school in the Navy, so in front of folks. So once you get past that nervousness of crowds, if you have a good message. So my publicists, they do book me for things now and again, and then television shows local, and signings in libraries and bookstores, and the occasional motivational speaking. I refuse to speak to something if it's a specific topic unless I am, you know, not very knowledgeable in that topic. But if it's about writing or following your dream or how to keep the negativity out of your life, sure, I'll do that.
So you've 7 books. How many books do you plan on writing?
No end. I've already got I don't even do outlines. I've already got the first 40 pages of the novel I'm going to do after the one I'm on now. there's also the one I'm doing now is not a sequel to the 2 extreme books that are my detective mysteries that everybody's pushing for right now. The one I'm doing now is more along the lines of a Stephen King sci-fi fantasy horror, not so much horror, but it's the supernatural aspect. I enjoy those. I'm very comfortable doing that. My writing style is different than a lot of folks in that there's always comedy in it. Even if it's a very serious subject, you're going to have a relief now and then over some comedic scenarios I put into the books. I find that to be my writing style. No matter what I'm writing, whether it's supposed to be funny or it's supposed to be thrilling or hide under the covers, you're still going to get a break and be able to laugh. So I put that in all my books, and hopefully that'll be my signature when and if I get to a higher status in this writing career.
Well, you know, Ron, I've been interviewing authors for almost 7 years, and it's not a it's not an easy market to make lots and lots of money in.
No.
So, yeah, and so, you know, a lot of people are writers because, one, it's therapeutic, two, it goes along with their speaking, or three, it's just something that they're really passionate about doing. Now, when you were younger, were you a writer? Did you like to, were you a storyteller? I mean,
I was a reader. I probably read 2,000 books in the Navy. I read and read and read and read. I couldn't get enough of my imagination being stimulated through stories, so I just read and read and read. And like I said, this was something that was lying dormant until I started doing it. And what I mean by, I consider this a natural gift because truly I never have any problem with it. I don't hardly ever hit a block. Everything comes out simply for me. My writing style is unique in that I write like I'm traveling at night across country, but I only can see as far as the headlights. So I really don't know what might be happening in 4 pages from now. It just comes out of me that way. And to me, it's not difficult. And that's why I call it a gift. A gift to me is something that you find that you have a natural affinity for. So, yeah, I don't see an end to it. And I've been proud. My wife wants me to do a children's book. I'll probably tackle that one day. As far as money goes, we have some producers, Hollywood and Florida, looking at one of my books for screen options. And, of course, that's what I call one of my lines in the water. And if that happens, and that'll be a turning point, of course. There's a couple of other things going on that could possibly be other lines in the water that would elevate me quickly to a place where I would be doing writing for a living comfortably, but I don't depend on it. I mean, I'm happy that this is happening. I'm happy that folks think that my work's good enough for that, but I enjoy my life as it is. So I think if you're comfortable where you're at and you do something for a dream, then that's the way to go because you're not desperate and you're truly grateful if it occurs.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that wish that the writing would come that easy to them. So you might be onto something that this is what you're supposed to be doing. You've written several books representing all different types of genres. Which style do you most prefer?
I like both the detective mystery and the supernatural. The coming-of-age novels I wrote were fun and easy, but it's what I was alluding to earlier is that no matter what I'm writing, I'm enjoying it because look at it this way. John Wayne, the actor, no matter what role he played, he was John Wayne. He was John Wayne. It wasn't like it was a shoe salesman in Florida. It was John Wayne as a shoe salesman. He was always the same persona no matter what character he played, unlike some actors that become and dress and look completely different for their roles. He's one of those actors that I think everybody knows. No matter what he's in, that's him. Well, no matter what book I'm writing, that's me. Because I'm going to infuse the things that I enjoy about writing into whatever genre it is. So I enjoy all of them. But I've found it easier to write the detective murder mysteries and the supernatural stories, which is pretty much what I focus on. The coming of age is easy because that was all things that happened in my life that I expounded upon put a little bit more to it to make good storytelling. But, yeah, I don't really think I would have one that I would want to just stay with, period, unless it was something I was contracted to.
So for writers out there, for authors, people looking to write a book, complete their book, stuck on their book, don't know what to do with the book now that they've gotten the words on paper, any suggestions, any recommendations, anything that you found along the way that was a roadblock that you now figured out wasn't that difficult? Any suggestions, any tips?
Absolutely. When you're writing your first book, read it out loud to someone that you know. Because when you read a book out loud to someone, you find every single mistake. You'll say, wait, that doesn't sound right. That isn't spelled right. That's the first way to do a decent editing as far as novice goes. And if you can afford it, hire an editor and have them go through it piece by piece, as painful as it may be, to show you all the grammatical problems, because some readers have a real problem reading books where there's a lot of grammatical errors, no matter how good the story. And if you can't find a publisher, you can go to Amazon, Kindle. They have a program called CreateSpace where you can publish your own book under their banner, and it'll get out there as a print on demand or a Kindle book that you can download. We see a lot of those. Just make sure that when you do that, you've given it a bunch of once-overs, you've got the best expert advice that you can, and that you're willing to not think that you're going to be a bestseller overnight, because that doesn't happen but once in a billion. So just put it out there, get it done, find people who've done that before, ask people, have you used CreateSpace, so they can walk you through the procedures, and you can get your book published. The best route, of course, is if you can find a publisher that wants to pick up your book. They will do most of that for you, and all you have to do is approve the finished product. But that would be a way for the novice writer, the one who wants to get it down, to actually get it out there. At least it'll be available, and then you try to work on marketing.
Mm. Well, Ron, time goes quickly here, and I know that you are very passionate about writing and helping others along the way with their writing as well. So if people wanted to contact you, how can they get in touch with you? How can they purchase your books?
RonStelle.com. That's RonStelle.com. Has my books, has videos, has a book club, a sponsorship page, everything. And I also does email, in which I will email you back. So just go to that page, and anything I can do to help, just give me a ring.
Well, we sure do appreciate your time here today. I just really am excited that you have found a way to take, and I don't know whether or not you're familiar with this or not, or if you've recognized this, but the 20 years that you spent in the military has had to have prepared some of the things you're going through today with writing a book.
Absolutely.
Have you looked back and seen that?
Absolutely. It's allowed me to have patience. It's allowed me to have to know how to structure my time so that I can get everything I need to get done. I think it becomes inherent after that long. It just becomes part of who you are. But looking back, I'm sure I was a lot more scatterbrained and less, schedule bound, as it were. I don't know if regimented, but I'm definitely always know where I'm going to be, when I'm going to do it. And then I always to make time once a month to go up north and just get away and do nothing. You got to relax too, or your brain will fry.
Very good. Very good stuff. Well, we look forward to you coming back with the next book that comes out and the book after, and hopefully the movie that's involved with the people that are looking at it as a movie, or as you put it, another line in the water. So we hope that you'll come back and keep us up to date on that.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for having me, and everybody have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Folks, we're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to come back with my next guest, a gentleman by the name of Jerry McMullen, who has made a career out of radio and telecommunications and realized that he's made a career out of radio and telecommunications and realized that both podcasting and podcasting is the next generation of the broadcast industry. Well, I'm excited about this because with doing radio, internet radio, and now podcasting's come alive and all that in the last few years, got lots of questions for him. So make sure to fill up your coffee cup, get another bottle of water, get a new piece of paper to take notes, and don't forget to go and check out Ron's Steele's website, and you can find that by going to, well, it's wix.com/Ron Stelle, S-T-E-L-L-E. Check out Ron's books. He's got great books, different types of genres, so you can, you know, pick the one that you like. We're going to be right back after this here short break.
Texas Authors, Inc. is the only nonprofit organization that supports and markets Texas authors exclusively. We have created proven programs and events that give an author the extra boost in knowledge and skills to sell their book. Join us at txauthors.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tuck Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tuck Talk Radio Network can help you, go to TuckTalkRadioNetwork.com.
All right, welcome back to Workshop Wednesdays. My name is Tony Gambone. I'm here with you every Wednesday from 10:30 to 11:30 Central Standard Time on the Tuck Talk Radio Network. Make sure to stop by and like the page, TuckTalkRadioNetwork.com. Tough Talk Radio Network on Facebook. And also stop by my page, Tony Gambone, and let's meet up and talk more about how I can help you market what you're doing out there. My first guest, Ron Stelle, we just talked to him. He's written 7 books from comedy to fiction. He's got a lot more books on the line, or as he put it, lines in the water. And he is just having a great time being passionate in writing. And, you know, a lot of times most of us never think of that as an opportunity. Well, we always just say, well, that's just not something I'm good at. But trust me, folks, if you sit down and start writing down the things that happened to you just this year, 2016 so far, you will start to see a pattern and you might decide to share your message with others. My second guest, Jerry McMullen. He, as I mentioned, has made a career out of radio and telecommunications and realized that both podcasts and vodcasts is the next generation of broadcast of the broadcast industry. So without wasting any time, I want to welcome Jerry to the show. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony. Good morning to you and to you, all your listeners, and also to Ron Stelle. He's one of my high school cronies from Texas.
Kind so of you're, interesting from you're from Houston as well.
For me. I'm from Houston as well, and I went to school with Ron, and I've actually had him on a couple of our shows, and he's a great guy. He's a great writer, and he's really been hustling. He's been producing a lot of print, and they're all good reads. He's a great guy.
Isn't that interesting? Because as a lot of my guests know, that you just come on the registration page and you pick the next available date. And here it is. I have two guys that don't live in Houston anymore, went to school together, and are connected. Now, did you guys find each other? I got to find this out now. So before we find out where you're calling from, I'm just curious. Did you guys have the same publishing company? Did you guys know this ahead of time? Is this an accident?
Well, we didn't know anything about the time, but we do have the same PR agent.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And that's because we both know each other, and so, you know, there's power in networking. So I didn't know Ron was going to be on today, or I'd have listened to the whole show, but good guy. I believe he's on the East Coast. I'm in Colorado, up in the near the mountains in southwest Colorado. And we're just trying to cook not only vodcasts and podcasts, but we're coming out, rolling out a complete network with all your standard shows like, you know, that Netflix would have. We're going to be about 200 channels, and we're going to have Forecast.tv is the name of the channel. And we'll have Showtime, HBO, news. We're going to be doing the news based off of international intelligence briefs, which means the people are going to really get to hear the geopolitical news and happenings before, you know, Fox even hears about it. And we'll filter it only so we don't give people heart attacks. But other than that, they'll get the real news. So we're going to be doing a lot of things that will be assisting school districts, mutual aid entities, like on ship channels. We're going to be doing a lot of emergency and disaster response utilizing television. We're going to be international. We've already got African content. We've got a meeting in Kenya next month. And we want to make this thing an international gig. We're going to have talk shows, of course, call-in lines. And it'll all be done basically in a TV format. So we'll have, you know, something for everybody. So it's a lot of work. And then we'll have our own, you know, news desk and news studios, just like CBS and NBC and Fox. But the news will be completely different. It won't be watered down. And trust me, Ron can tell you this one. It'll be very non-politically correct, as Trump would say. And I'm worse than Trump. So I have a show. I have a show called Twisted Nation, and I've picked up the name Jacked Up Jerry as my show name, and we don't hold much back. So if you really want to get into some cool action and debate on politics and what's really going on and who's really running the world, we're the ones to listen to on Twisted Nation, and you'll hear a lot more about us here in the next few weeks. And we're also selling dealerships at a discounted rate before the network is up for those that want to own their own business anywhere in the world. We're looking for videographers, and we're setting up a program where the videographers would make 60% of all ad revenue that they generate, whether it's video or audio. And we have some special advertising techniques and special marketing that I haven't seen anywhere else that we came up with, and it gives them the ability to generate recurring revenue, and then also they get paid a percentage of finding dealers. They get 10% of that. So there's a lot of different things that we're coming up with, and we're looking for 5,000 dealers worldwide. So anybody that's interested in a new career, that's out of work, they can contact us at 970-529-0901, or they can email at the number four, not F-O-U-R, but the number four, C-A-S-T, cast, then Jerry, J-E-R-R-Y, at gmail.com, and we'd love to talk to you. And then we'll also be setting up on franchise.com. We'll be on there before long. So anyway, we're making inroads, and we're excited. We want to roll out pretty quick and stir the pot. That's what we're all about. So,
Well, Jerry, let me ask you this. It says in your bio that you were at a very young age when you got involved. I mean, I believe your family, it was in radio prior. Is that correct?
My father and grandfather and uncles and cousins, and I think it was eight total, were into amateur radio. And when I was eight, I remember going to the school library. I believe Ron went to that school too, Elrod. And I checked out a book with the last name of Morgan, and I started to, you know, look at it. And back in that day, I hate to date myself, but that was back in the days of the vacuum tube. You know, it was pre-transistor day. And I ended up building a two-tube amplifier, audio amplifier, and, you know, put microphones and speakers on it, and, you know, could hear myself talk and electrocute myself and so forth. So that was my first project, and then from that point on, it was just, you know, nonstop. I was always building something, and then it ended up being my passion, just like Ron's talking about in writing. And I got into amateur radio at 11, got my first license, and then every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, the whole family, cousins, uncles, and everybody would get on, and we'd have a round table, much like, you know, you do here on talk radio, and we'd all check in with each other. And I'll never forget on one occasion on a Sunday, this is before I owned my own vehicle, but I was, you know, still young, probably 16 or 17. I was on my father's 455 Oldsmobile. It was a Delta 88, you know, how they had those big old big blocks back in the day. And I ended up taking the air filter off of it, and I left early in the morning, and I drove to Donna, Texas, which is right by McAllen. And it usually took my parents about 7.5 hours on that drive. I made it in 4 hours and 20 minutes, and I was knocking on my grandfather's door as he was talking to my father on the radio, because it was at 8 o'clock when I showed up. And the latch was locked. And so he said, "Oh, for crying out loud, Jerry's here. Let me go on and unlatch the door." And when he let go of the microphone, I could hear my father come back and go, "It better not be him," because he knew what time I left. So I got in trouble for that one. But I was smoking. But I was a crazy teenager, much like most of us are. And Ron and I went to the same high school, which was non-politically correct today. Our logo, or not logo, but mascot was a rebel. And it's interesting how our mindsets and our passions are so unique, and but yet we have the same drive, all of us that still know each other that went to the same high school. And it's interesting. We all call each other rebels. And because really in life we are, but I'm not sure what the school had to do with that. But I've been in it a long time.
Well, you know, Jerry, we're back in, we're in 2010. I got started in internet radio probably in 2009, maybe a little earlier. And it wasn't really popular. I mean, podcasting wasn't out yet. So it wasn't out like it's marketed now. I mean, people didn't, I guess, still to this day, people don't realize that an internet radio show, 5 seconds later after it's aired, is now a podcast. But so there's that whole confusion of stuff there. And as you've seen the different things roll out, where terrestrial radio is now streaming live and all these different things, is that what gave you the idea to kind of jump ahead of this?
Well, actually, what happened was I was on the Romney campaign, of which I wished he would go back to his house and leave things alone. I see where he's jumped back in to screw Donald. I was on his campaign in 2012 and lost millions being on it. And while I was on it, I was introduced to vodcasting out at Universal Studios at John Lovitz Theater. And ended up buying a bunch of time there and ended up writing a bunch of shows and creating a bunch of show names and so forth. And the one that I took back with me was Twisted Nation. It's the one I was most passionate about. But, I mean, we do other shows, obviously. We do shows on the homeless and the veterans and, you know, Las Vegas having 8,000 veterans and elderly living in the gutters of Las Vegas, which is sad, but that's what our country's up to. You know, they're bringing in the Syrian refugees, a.k.a. terrorists, and, you know, helping them out, getting them situated while they're all living in gutters. And that's in every city. You go to Hollywood, seriously, or Studio City, and at 1 in the morning, if you're out in your car, you really think and feel like, and it looks like, you're living in the day of what the show promotes on the zombies, because you've got guys and just pushing shopping carts with their life's possessions, and they're wearing, you know, what's the right word to say, like rags around their feet that are duct taped for shoes. I mean, it's the saddest thing you've ever seen in the world. And so our whole world, or our whole country, rather, has got a huge homeless problem and a huge unemployment problem. And for people who really want to know what the real rates of, you know, consumer price index are, what the real rates of unemployment are, do not listen to your government. Go back to www.shadowstats.com, and those are the formulas that were always used to come up with the true CPI and the true unemployment rate, along with a lot of other formulas. And what's happened over the last few years is they've changed the formulas to make the answers look better, to make it look like they're doing their job, when we all know they're all from the pits of hell and they're all lying. And go to shadowstats.com. I have nothing to do with that, but that's where you get the real information. So it's horrible to see what's going on in this country. And these are some of the things that we'd like to bring about on our news network as well, is to cover things like this so people will see the truth, because they're not being shown the truth. And hopefully it'll wake up some people, or at least educate them and blow the horn to make them look and listen. Whether or not they do anything about it, no one knows. But it's our job to blow the horn. So that's
right.
What we're going to be doing. But
so
broadcasting,
are you...
and podcasting is a great way to communicate to people now with all the new handheld devices. They can watch you on IPTV at home with the new smart TVs. And it's the wave of the future. And it's actually, if you look at the financials, they're calling you know, streaming video the gold rush of 2020. So what's going to happen is you're going to get a lot of new networks up by 2020, and they're going to be completely everything. They're going to be content, not only just, you know, like me or you, but we're going out with, you know, 200 channels, HBO, Showtime, our stuff, and we've got 6,000, you know, different titles ourselves we're loading. And we can do our own advertising. We can do our own news. So now we're a network. But guess what? We don't have the same cost that ABC, CBS does, because they're paying their news guys $18 million a year. I won't be. So, and we'll give them the real news and not the fake news. So there's going to be a lot of broadcasters in cable and satellite, they're starting to really fall off in the next few years. They already have, if you look at the financial. And it's going to be what we're doing, you and I, that's going to come up, and in 2020 is going to smash them.
I'm hoping that you're right, because Tough Talk Radio Network is something that I formed back in 2010, where, you know, we teach people how to do radio shows. We actually market the show, produce the show, and train them how to host the show and even find their guests. So we do everything. You know, we live in a lazy society, so I found that people were more interested if they can come on and be Oprah for an hour and not have to do anything. So I found that niche there, and if what you're saying is correct, you know, I'm on the way to bigger and better things.
Right.
How long do you think it's going to take before, you know, this is going to be a norm? You know, do you think it's going to be 2020 or, I mean, you know, 2020? Like, right now, you know, when you say, well, I do a radio show, well, what channel is it on? You know, it's on the internet. Yeah, but when I get in the car, what button do I push? So there's
right.
A lot of people that still aren't familiar with it in the boomer age, I should say, okay, in my age bracket. They're like, what is that? They don't realize the ability of that platform to get the marketing out there. I mean, it builds credibility for a person if they're an author or a speaker. I mean, there's just so many different things that it's there for that are usable. What do you think is the best form, you know, what would be the best use of that platform for someone out there thinking about doing a radio show, a podcast, a vodcast, a TV show, getting connected with you? What are some of the things that you're looking for that people can connect with you and come through your services?
Anybody that's passionate about what they do, as long as it's, you know, somewhat orthodox, if they're passionate about what they do, like take Ron, for example, or you take cooking, or you take anything like that, or mechanics, or is it survival, is it contingency planning, anything they're really passionate about, we want to help educate people. We want to help educate people on how to take care of themselves when there's a transportation shutdown due to a huge hurricane that blows in into Texas or Louisiana, or there's, you know, that the ISIS starts to attack here, which they're going to soon. People are going to need to know skills to survive. And what's most important psychologically is secondary housing, because if all of a sudden their city goes in the crapper, they don't want to hang around the city. You know, especially if he gets hit with a, you know, a bio agent or whatever, or if there's a bunch of terrorists in it, they want to get the hell out of Dodge. They need to have their secondary place already figured out before it ever happens. Secondly, is food and water, because you can't live without it. And people often ask me, well, what do you think about investing in gold and silver before the collapse of the dollar? And I'm like, have you ever seen a squirrel run up a tree with a quarter in its mouth? And the answer to that is obviously no. He's bringing food there. So then you get into the food storage and into water. You know, you can, whatever your budget can afford. If it's beans and rice and water, that's great. You can sustain life on that. But it's where you go and what you eat and what you drink and how do you protect yourself. And Americans need to be thinking about that truthfully, to be honest with you. They're not being told that by their government, because their government's there for themselves. They're not serving you. That's a joke. You know, they even call the Air Force One the people's plane. Let me ask you a question. If it's really your plane and you walked up and got close to it, what do you think would happen to you? Are they going to invite you on board? No. They're going to shoot your ass is what they're going to do. So our whole government has got us completely brainwashed, not me, but others, in that they are serving us, when actually they are worse than the drug cartel in Mexico. Mexico is friendly. You know, our guys are just nasty. And they literally, you know, get off the podium preaching democracy, and they do the complete opposite. And then they preach human rights to all these other nations. And then we go over and start shooting kids and parents that are innocent with drones. Okay, whether it's an accident or not. And then you have Benghazi, which is a joke. It was totally avoidable. And what happened was I had two reporters go in, and we actually recorded a mole. Then we went to Bob Woodward, and then I did a piece on it, and then my house got kicked down, and the doors were kicked down, and machetes came in. So you piss them off, then the CIA comes in. But what had happened was they were putting politics before the protection of people is really what happened, in the sense that election time was almost here. They did not want another failed Jimmy Carter event right before the election. So they took upon themselves not to get involved because they might make a mistake like Jimmy did. And that was the real truth of the deal. Of course, you'll never hear that from them, and Trey Gowdy will probably never get it out of them either. But that's what was recorded. That's what the real deal was. And, so there they are serving the people and protecting the armed forces of America. They're really putting politics, cocaine, prostitution, all in front of everything, because they have their fun. And that's why they're fighting Trump so bad. It's not that Trump's arrogant, because he's not near as arrogant as Obama. Yes, he is arrogant, but he's a businessman. He knows how to go bankrupt when he needs to, just like this country needs to. he knows how to make things happen, and they're scared to death that they're going to lose their horse and their coke and their limousines and their lifestyle. And that's why they're fighting tooth and nail. And Romney's not any different. He's a player, just like the Bushes. They're all part of it. It's sick. And the people need to stand up and make their vote count this time. And I never cared much for Trump, but I'll be honest with you. Listening to him, he's all about trying to make America what it used to be, because if we get the wrong person there this time, we're screwed. We're gone. We're toast. It's going to be a completely different world. So,
well, Jerry, we're up against the clock. We're out of time. I know that we could talk for another hour on this subject. It always brings me back to the story I told my children a few years back. Go watch the movie Wag the Dog, and you'll see a lot of different things that'll make more sense to you. A lot of people just, they just want to not see it. They would rather live in the comparable little world that they live in, and, you know, it's unfortunate. But anyway, how can people get in touch with you? And once again, how can they become part of your network as an investor or a client or as a guest?
Okay, they can contact me at 970-529-0901, or they can reach me via email at the number 4, CASTJERRY, at gmail.com. And we're doing pre-sales right now in dealerships where they can actually go out and retain 60% of their ad revenue, which can, you know, be a lot of money per month. Then they can make a lot of money selling dealerships to their friends. So it's a good way to put you back to work. You're your own boss. You're not working for us. And you're loading our channels and stuff with your media that you shoot and some of the news we may put you on. But it's your business, and we're not going to dictate to you to what time you got to get up and go do whatever. So give us a call if you're interested. It's going to be a whole new paradigm in television and broadcasting. We're wanting to be the big boys here in another 4 or 5 years. We'll be doing talk radio. We're going to be doing all of that right there on that network, along with a lot of other things that none of the other networks have even thought about. So we're going to be a full-blown network doing all kinds of peripheral ideas. And I look forward to rolling it out. And also, Tony, look forward to having you come out and check us out here in Colorado and see the mountains and the beauty and get into some clean air.
Well, I look forward to that, Jerry. And we will connect off the air to see how we can continue to help market what you're doing and to let everyone know that that opportunity is out there. Once again, I want to just say thank you for your time today, and I apologize. Time goes quickly here on the show, but we'll have to have you back on as a guest.
Okay. Thank you for having me, Tony, and thank you for the listeners, and everybody have a great week, and God bless.
You too. Thank you. All right, folks, we're out of time, so I'm just going to play the exit, and we'll see you next week.
This has been another edition of Workshop Wednesdays, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.